Good morning. Welcome to worship here in Kemne Parish Church. A warm welcome to all who are visiting with us today, all who are watching live online via our streaming service or on our catch-up service during the week. We're delighted to have each and every one of you here with us for worship today. And today is a special day in the church where we celebrate the sacrament of holy baptism. And we are delighted this morning to welcome Professor Tom Greggs from the University of Aberdeen to officiate the baptism of James Nimmo. Tom, welcome warmly to worship with us this morning. Delighted to have you. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time. As we know from this lovely display here, and a heartfelt thank you to those who made this happen as well, is that we have our Harvest Sunday celebration today. And has been tradition in this church on Harvest to make contributions towards the ongoing work of Tear Fund. And that will continue this year as well. We have Tear Fund envelopes available today, but we're going to ask to make a specialized contribution through Tear Fund to those who have been impacted by the recent tsunami in Indonesia in the island of Sulawesi. And so that is going to be our focus of giving through Tear Fund this year. And you'll have a few weeks to take the envelopes away and to bring them back. We're asking that these envelopes with your contributions could be brought back to the church by the 21st of October. That's two Sundays from now. So giving a full fortnight to prayerfully consider how God might be leading us to contribute towards the alleviation of those who are suffering and other parts of the world. So please do bring those back by the 21st, and then we will arrange to have those contributions sent on to Tear Fund for that very worthwhile cause. A reminder to mark your diaries for this November, which is rapidly approaching, much more rapidly than I would care to admit. For Saturday, the 17th of November, we'll have another Tear Fund-based initiative that night, the Tear Fund Big Quiz, that Saturday, the 17th of November, 7 p.m. in the Church Center. It's listed on the intimations. Please read through that for more information. This week, our Wednesday Bible study will continue at 7:30 p.m. in the Church Center on the study of Revelation. And all are welcome to attend. David, is your Monday study continuing as well? Okay, Monday night as well. Tomorrow night, 7:30, in the continued study of the Gospel of Matthew. So we as a church family have two opportunities to study Scripture together. That's Monday and Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Is a downstairs room for you, David? In the Church Center as well. We'd like to also intimate another event for November, and that is what we are going to be calling the first Presbytery Tim Talk. You've heard of TED Talks before, but we're starting to have what we're calling Tim Talks with our presbytery, and TIM stands for Theology, Imagination, and Mission. The information about this event is listed on the Presbytery of Gordon Facebook page, but it'll be hosted here in Kemne Parish Church, not in the center, but here in the Kirk. Where's it being held? Here in the Kirk. 15th of November at 7:30 p.m., and all are welcome to come along and listen to some truly excellent speakers speak about various aspects of what does it mean to be in spiritual leadership in the church and other important topics that relate to that, to the topics of eldership and leadership, and how are we called as God's people to spread the good news of the gospel? So that's the 15th of November, 7:30 p.m. here in Kemne Church. And last but most certainly not least, I would now ask Mrs. Rita Custer to come forward with a very important announcement.
Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Visual impact only. Seriously not. But what I do want to do this morning is to expand a little bit on what Joshua said a couple of weeks ago about mainly music. He was quite right when he said that it is fun to be with the children as they join in their rhymes together, learning and interacting with their parents. And it is, if you like doing that. If you don't, and we, the Mainly Music team, we know for some people that's actually the stuff of nightmares. But importantly, although the group is called Mainly Music, music is only the last third of the morning, from about 10:30 to 11. And the mums and the dads and the childminders and the grandparents, they all stay with their children and do the interacting anyway. If you feel inclined and your wrists are strong enough, you can help picking up children if somebody's got two. But it's not obligatory. Just being in the room is actually really all we need. Importantly, the early part of the morning is concerned much more with welcoming and chatting with the mums and the other adults, being generally supportive and encouraging. By no means are we claiming to be experts in childcare, certainly not. But we are proof, as we constantly tell them, that we do survive childcare, even if you get great. One of the mums said a little while ago, if I tell my friends what bad nights I've just been having, they will be sympathetic, but they have their own tale of woe. Whereas you ladies, you can just listen and you can sympathise. And sometimes, yes, we can offer suggestions. And it's not giving your children away. That is not an option. But during this time, the early part, the children are playing with toys. And then we have snack, which includes, importantly, coffee, tea and cake for the adults. And again, time to mingle, time to chat. But again, you might feel that you're not going to be very good at that. What do I know? What do I say? Well, I thought that. But it's really not that hard. Hello, how are you doing today? Actually is all it takes. And you'll get feedback. Obviously, sometimes you can build on that. If somebody says, yeah, fine, in a tone that says they're really not fine, you know to start a conversation. But equally, standing behind the teapot, looking friendly, is fine. But again, some people will prefer just to be in the background. And yes, we do need, on most mornings, we need practical help as well. Preparing snack, clearing and drying dishes, sweeping the floor. All of those things allow the team to be in the room with the music going on, because that is really where we would like to be. We're actually looking for a relief list, not every week commitment, just if you can help when we know we're going to be short of staff. And we do usually know in advance if we're going to have a small team. All of this, very importantly, is what makes mainly music not just a play group. It's the support and care that a church can offer through people who do not have children of their own to look after at that particular time, who can empathise and be friendly and non-judgmental. One of our leaders said at our prayer session on Friday, if it's support and care we want to offer, then every single one of us in church is qualified simply by being part of our church. But obviously not everyone is free to come along on a Friday. We appreciate that. But if you could take some time to hold us in prayer, that would be very much appreciated as well. Thank you. Thanks, Joshua.
Thank you very much, Rita. A few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, we talked about the real meaning of the word fine. Anybody remember? Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, emotional. I'm fine. So, just putting that out there. Are there any other information to share with the start at the start of our time together? Anything else to share? Yes, Anne.
Can I just say that if those that want to have life and work for next week, if they could hand in their little forms by next Sunday?
By next Sunday. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Anything else at the start of our time? With those shared, then, let us enter into worship through the gift of music by singing our first song of praise, O Give Thanks. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work will be uplifted.
O Give Thanks to the Lord, for His love will never end. O Give Thanks to the Lord, for His love it never will end. Sing to Him, sing your praise to Him, tell the world of all He has done. Fill the nations with celebration to welcome Him as He comes. Everybody sing.
Let us now bow our heads in prayer. God of harvest and thanksgiving, we thank you for the gift of plentitude, that we have been blessed with an abundance of food and nourishment. Our tables are overflowing, our bellies are full, we want nothing. You have given us reason to shout and sing and praise you, for you are generous and sustaining. Lord, you are also generous with your grace. Today we get to watch as James is baptized into the family of God. Today we get to become and continue to be his church family, one that encourages, teaches, and loves the little ones that grow up in our midst. You have given us these moments, moments like baptism, when we get to watch something holy happen, where heaven meets earth in a profound way. We raise up James and his family and all of ourselves as hearts grateful for your blessings and your grace. May we live in ways that glorify you and show that we are baptized into you and your kingdom. Jesus, we pray the words you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Kylie. We continue to worship our God through the gift of music with singing our next song of praise. Creation sings the Father's song.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to make the dawn, and on the coast of day, the evening falls in winds and rain. His fingerprints on flakes of snow, his breath upon the spinning globe. He charms the eagle's flight, the lambs a newborn baby's cry. Alleluia! Let all creation stand and sing. Creation gazed upon his face, the ageless one in time's embrace, unveiled with lover's smile, all frankenstein in God and man.
Good morning, everyone. It's an intense joy to be here with you and a particular privilege to be involved in the baptism of James this morning. Can I invite the Nimmo family to come up and join us? Now, boys, I'm going to have a very special thing to ask you to do a bit later on just to help me out. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Do you want to come over a bit closer? There we are. That's lovely. And everybody here, when we have a baptism, we baptize a baby into the family of God, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church that you all are the representatives of. And following the baptism, you'll be joining in singing a blessing onto James, and then I will be asking you a question right towards the very end of the liturgy, to which the response is, "We do." And I hope you can say that with tremendous gusto, with a real sense that you are going to support the Nimmo family, since they're outnumbered doubly these days. They really do need a lot of support coming through. Okay. The Gospel tells us that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John. As he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens break open and the Spirit descend on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. In you I take delight." Jesus himself said, "Full authority in heaven and on earth has been committed to me. Go therefore to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Then your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far away and to everyone whom the Lord our God may call." When Jesus was baptized in the waters of the Jordan, the Spirit came upon him. His baptism was completed through dying and rising again. Our baptism is a sign of our dying to sin and our rising to new life in Christ. It is Jesus Christ himself who baptizes us. By the Spirit of Pentecost, He makes us members of his body, the church, and he calls us to share in the ministry to the world. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us for his own. He washes us from sin, and he sets us free from the power of death. In this sacrament, the love of God is shown to each one of us. Though we cannot understand it or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a child. In baptism, James is assured of the love God has for him, and the sign and seal of the Holy Spirit is placed upon him. Jill and Paul, in presenting your child for baptism, desiring that he be grafted into Christ as a member of his body, the church, do receive the teachings of the Christian faith which we confess in the Apostles' Creed. I do. Let us pray together. We give you thanks, gracious God, for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, you moved over the waters and brought light and life to a formless waste. By the waters of baptism, you cleansed the world and made with Noah and his family a new beginning for all people. In the time of Moses, you led your people out of slavery through the waters of the sea, making covenant with them in a new land. At the appointed time, in the waters of the Jordan, when Jesus was baptized by John, you sent your Holy Spirit upon him. And now, by the baptism of his death and resurrection, Christ sets us free from sin and death and opens the way to eternal life. Send your Holy Spirit upon this water, that James, being buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life, and being born anew of the water of the Holy Spirit, may remain forever in the number of your faithful children through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever. Amen. Now, James, you're going to look at me for this part, because this is the important bit. Okay. Oh, yeah, you're not so sure. I've never had a crier yet, so don't let me down. Okay. James Thomas, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered the darkness of Calvary and cried at the last, "It is accomplished." For you, he triumphed over death and rose to newness of life. For you, he ascended to God's right hand. All this he did for you, James, though you did not know it yet. And so the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. Now, can you two come and help me a second? Could you hold this book so that I could see it? Do you think both of you? Would that be okay? Rebecca, do you want to come and help them as well? Hold that side. Could you hold that side for me? There you go. Well done. Right. Here we go. Come on, little one. Oh, let's put your arm that way so you're a bit more comfortable. James Thomas, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh. Oh. There we go. Oh. The blessing of God Almighty descend on you and remain with you always, James. Amen. James Thomas is now baptized. He is your brother in Christ, whether he likes it or not. And he enters into the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Let us give thanks for him. Amen. That's right.
Can I have that back? Thank you. It is our tradition and our privilege to sing James into the faith now.
We'll sing together, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." This light represents the light of Jesus Christ, the true light of the world, shining in the darkness, the light which no darkness can ever overcome. This light shines for each of you. It shines for Samuel, for Daniel, for Rebecca, and for James as well. Take this light as a sign of God's continued faithfulness and love. And we have a certificate that I present to you as well to commemorate this date of James's baptism into the family of faith as well. I'll hold on to this and give it to you later. Got your hands full.
You still got a few more promises to make after all of this. Jill, Paul. James belongs to God in Christ. From this day, he will be at home in the Christian community, and there will always be a place for him. Tell him of his baptism and unfold him the treasure he has been given today, so that he may know he is baptized, and as he grows, make his own response in faith and love, and come in true due time to share in the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Jill and Paul, do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to teach your child the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example, to bring James up in the life and worship of the church? If you do so, please say, "I do." All of you who are gathered here at Kemnay Parish Church, to you who are gathered here and represent the whole church, the Church Catholic, do you, by word and sacrament, seek to bring the joy of Christ's presence into your midst? You bring the responsibility of Christ also to this place. And so I ask you, do you welcome James, and do you renew your commitment with God's help to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way, and to share with them in the knowledge and love of Christ? And if you do, I invite you to join with me in saying, "We do. We do." Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call, and we are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guard James all his days. May your love hold him, your truth guide him, your joy delight him. Bless Jill and Paul, that he may grow up in a secure and happy home. Give to all of his family, to Samuel, Daniel, and Rebecca, to Jill and Paul, wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and a love that endures in all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, Father and Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. 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 Well done, all of you. Thank you.
Now, Paul, you have to keep that lit to the end of the service. Otherwise, we have to do this all over again. No, we don't. Feel free to extinguish the candle. Health and safety first. We've just celebrated one of the most meaningful rites that we have as Christian people. It is in baptism that we are buried with Christ and we are raised into new life. And so it seems only fitting that we now sing a song in that spirit. We sing together, I am a new creation.
Is taken from Genesis chapter 12, and we're reading from verses 1 to 9, and this can be found on page 13 in the Church Bible. The call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Then he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. And the second reading is on page 15, and we're reading chapter 15. God's covenant with Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said unto him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and ill-treated for 100 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Thanks be to God for the reading of this word.
We continue our worship together as God's people with singing our next song of praise, In Christ Alone.
He is my life, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground. Fell through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ. Fullness of God in helpless faith, His gift of love and righteousness, sworn by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ. This is the power of time.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it is in you alone that we live and move and have our being. It is in you alone we have redemption and salvation. May this time of reflection upon the living Word of God draw us closer to you. We pray this prayer to the Father through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this week we are continuing with our series on what we are calling the Gospel of Genesis. We've heard before that the fundamental claim of this series is that the gospel, and what does gospel mean? Good news. The good news of salvation, of redemption, does not just begin for us in the New Testament. No. God's great drama of redemption is interwoven into the very fabric of creation, the very fabric of all that God has ever, will ever do, is about redemption, wholeness, healing, reconciliation. Each aspect of Genesis points to this great truth, and that is what makes Genesis good news for us. And today we're considering one of the most important parts in Genesis, perhaps one of the most important parts in the entire narrative of salvation, the calling and claiming by God of Abram. Now, this part of Genesis, we must begin with one very important observation. That is, before chapter 12, which Irene read for us today, before that point, we know precious little about any aspect of Abram's life. We know that the name of his father was Terah, who was a son of Nahor. We know that Abram spent much of his life with his wife and extended family in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is probably in the south of modern-day Iraq. From there, Abram went with Terah on the way to Canaan, but they stopped before they arrived there and instead settled in the land of Haran, probably modern-day Turkey. So prior to the calling of God on his life, this is pretty much the totality of what we know about the life and times of Abram. And for me, the account of Abram is striking because of what it doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us anything about what Abram was like as a person. It doesn't tell us about his talents, his interests, or anything else of the sort. It doesn't paint a very full picture, does it? And then we come to chapter 12, beginning where it says, "The Lord then said to Abram, to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you, in turn, will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." It's quite a bold, wonderful statement. But the transition from the end of chapter 11, where we know precious little about Abram, to this grand calling is quite a jarring transition. It suddenly switches from first gear, we know a little bit about Abram, then suddenly, just like that, he's at the center of God's ongoing work of redemption. It is not too much to say, I think, that it was when God called him that Abram's true life began. It was when God called him that Abram's true life began. It's also worth pausing for a moment to consider the enormity of this call. that made his life truly begin. Go from everything you know, from everything familiar, into the land that you know so well. No, that's not what it said. Into the land what? That I will show you. Into the land that I will show you. From the very start of God's call on his life, Abram was faced with a crucial choice. Would he or would he not continue in the same pattern, in the same ways that had defined the first 75 years of his life? Would he or would he not trust the promise of the living God? From the very start of God's call on his life, Abram had to make the crucial choice to live a life defined by trust in the living God. And trust God he did. Our text tells us that Abram did leave everything he knew, his familiar surroundings, and with his family leaned into the calling that God placed on his life. And over the next few chapters of Genesis, we see how God provided for Abram, how Abram in return continued to trust and follow God's call on his life. He didn't do it perfectly, of course. He was just a human being. But he still stumbled through and continued to trust the promises given to him. And throughout those chapters, God continued to encourage Abram by reaffirming his great promises. In chapter 13, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes, Abram, and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise and walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." Genesis 13, 14 through 17. But even though God had made these grand promises to Abram, Abram needed more. So at the start of Genesis 15, God reaffirmed his total claim on Abram's life. After these things, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And the text tells us that God made a covenant with Abram. The covenant is a very important word in Scripture. It is much more than a simple agreement. A covenant is a binding promise between two parties. But human beings make covenants all the time. But when it comes to God and his covenants, it's a different matter entirely. In a human covenant, both parties have fair equal responsibility, rights, privileges, and whatnot. But is it that way with the covenant that God makes with humanity? No. God's covenant is vastly unfair to God. We get the great end of this deal. Because in the covenant with God, which even though we break our promises time and again, even though we fall short time and again, in God's covenant, God is always faithful. He never drops his end of the bargain, ever. Scripture tells us that even when we are faithless, God is what? Faithful. For he cannot deny himself. And after the making of this covenant, the text tells us that Abram prepared an offering for the Lord, made promise of the land. And then it tells us that the fire of the Lord, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch, appeared and passed between the pieces of the offering that Abram had made. The promise to give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. So quite the stretch of land. So God called Abram, and through the forming of a covenant, God claimed Abram as well. But it wasn't just Abram who was called and claimed. The call and claim of God extended to all of his offspring. And Abram himself received a new identity from God. He came to be known as Abraham, father of many nations. And today's good news from the Gospel of Genesis is that the call and claim of God was on Abraham. It was on all of his descendants, and this includes us. The Gospel of Genesis tells us that he, Abraham, believed the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham was in right relationship with God, not because of anything he did, not because of who he was, but because he trusted in the call and the claim of God on his life. And it is the same for us. In Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Know then that it is those of faith, those who trust God, who are sons and daughters of Abraham." And one of the primary ways that God calls and claims us is through the waters of baptism. This morning we've had the great privilege of bearing joyful witness to the baptism of James Thomas Nimmo. We have heard Tom ask Paul and Jill and us as a family of faith the baptismal questions. And we as a family of faith have affirmed our willingness to walk alongside Paul and Jill as they seek to raise Samuel, Daniel, Rebecca, and now James in the way of Jesus Christ. It's an awesome thing. Awesome thing we have done this morning. Now, sometimes we might be tempted to think of baptism as a blip in our lives, as a one and done, a singular event that happens to us once in our lives of faith. But I think that nothing could be further from the truth. Just as God's calling and claiming of Abraham touched on every aspect of Abraham's life, just as that calling and claiming remained with him throughout his life, so too do the waters of baptism signify the same sort of continual calling and claiming of our lives. I have a friend in America who is a pastor north of where I grew up. There's a fellow named Eric Peterson, who is the son of Eugene Peterson, who authored the Message version of the Bible, amongst other books. Eric officiated at my wedding. He's a dear friend, and he's very fond of reminding people that baptism is a lifelong process. It's a lifelong process. And whenever he takes a funeral for a member of his church, when it comes time for the commendation and the words of committal, he will proclaim that the deceased has completed his or her baptism. It is at the funeral that baptism is completed. Let that sink in just for a moment. We heard in the liturgy of baptism that Tom shared with us today that Jesus' own baptism was completed when? At the cross. At the cross. Baptism is a lifelong process. Today, James Nimmo has begun his baptismal journey, and that baptismal journey will continue throughout his life. And the same is true for us as well. We are all on our baptismal journey. Whether we have been baptized yet or not, whatever stage we are at, baptism is an aspect of living into the calling and claiming of the Lord on our lives. We are being baptized throughout our lives, my friends. But we are not baptized just by the church. I would suggest that we are also regularly baptized by culture, by the world around us. Every single day, every single one of us is inundated and immersed in all sorts of creeds, all sorts of messages, all sorts of belief systems. We're not even always consciously aware of it, but we are immersed, we are baptized in messages of consumerism, materialism, violence, greed, hypersexuality. These are powerful forces, and many people simply pattern their lives and they flow along unresisting with this ungodly current. I take, for example, where I come from in the United States, we hear a type of gospel preached about the so-called American dream. Even from a very young age, we hear this kind of phrase. And everybody who's born in America has a sense of what this means. The American dream means 2.4 kids. I don't know what a 0.4 kid looks like, but white picket fence, the house, the steady, stable income, the cozy retirement. Those are the kinds of things we associate with the American dream. A life of continual improvement. And by improvement, we mean more stuff. That is a type of cultural baptism. Other forces in our culture have tried to co-opt language of baptism for diabolical ends. There was one U.S. politician, if you recall Sarah Palin from years ago. She once remarked, if I were in charge, they would know that waterboarding is how we baptize terrorists. That's horrifying. That is an absolute blasphemous thing for anyone to say. A complete co-opting and distorting of what baptism in Christ is really all about. And our baptism into Christ is opposed to the baptism we receive from culture. Baptism in Christ does not conform to the ways of the fallen world. It loves the world. It reaches out to the world. It bears witness to the world. But it does not conform to the ways of the world. Instead, baptism into Christ yields the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These two baptisms, baptism in Christ, baptism into our culture, are opposed to one another. We cannot live into both. We cannot serve two masters. In his own life, Abraham was surely baptized into the ways of his own culture. The call and claim of God disrupted his old way of life. It called him continually into something new. And every day, Abraham had to choose whether or not to trust the call and claim of God on his life. And my friends, the same is true for each of us. Whether we have just been baptized like James, whether we started our baptism journey many years ago, whether we are wondering and waiting on the edge of the baptismal waters, wherever we are at in our walk with the Lord, we are faced with the same choice of living by God's grace into the call and claim of Jesus on our lives. So, which baptism will we follow? Which waters will we wade into? Will we follow the baptism of culture or the baptism of Jesus Christ? May God give us the grace to choose well. Let us pray. Living God, you have called and claimed each of us as your own. You are our shield, our defender, our redeemer. Help us to live into the true joy offered to us in Jesus Christ. Help each of us, as you call us, to live our own lives conforming to his baptism. May each of our lives be used by you to further your kingdom, to bring you glory. May we always remember in the words of Martin Luther, that we have been baptized. Amen. We have heard, as those who participate in Christ's own baptism, that we are called not to be of the world. We were never called to shy away from the world either. So in that spirit, let us turn our hearts and our minds to our prayers for others. Let us pray. Living God, first and foremost in our minds are all those things in the world that lie beyond our control. Every day, we see things that are hard to comprehend. The suffering of others. We confess all too often it seems so meaningless to us. But help us to remember, as your people, that even in the darkest of times, we are called not to understand, but to be faithful and to call on your name. This morning, first and foremost, we lift up Sulawesi to you, the people of Indonesia, who have suffered the ill effects of yet another tsunami, of lives destroyed, lives forever disrupted. Help us, as your people, to respond with a depth of compassion and love for all who are suffering. Help us to remember that our neighbors can be near or far away from us. We are called to show your love, regardless of distance or background. This day we are mindful of all those known to us and unknown to us who are struggling with illness in any form, whether it be illness of body, illness of mind, or illness of spirit. Lord Jesus, you are the great healer. You are the great physician. May your healing touch be upon all those who are in need of it. We are mindful of the ongoing scourge of poverty, not just here in Scotland, but in every corner of the globe. All too often, we confess we see the gap between rich and poor ever increasing. And we know, Lord, this is not your will for your creation. So we pray in matters of economy that your justice would be done, that your justice, your righteousness would flow down like powerful, fresh water. May you inspire our leaders on every level to seek causes of justice and fairness. May our leaders help us and guide us to live in ways in which we can see each other's humanity, in which we can see Jesus Christ in all who we meet. This day we pray for your church. We pray for your church here in Kemnay, here in the Presbytery of Gordon, and throughout this land of Scotland, your church in every form, whether it be Presbyterian, Methodist, non-denominational, it does not matter. Help us in every form to truly be your church. Help us to be of service to you, Lord, wherever you have planted us to be. This day we pray for our families. We pray for our family members with whom we get along. We pray for family members estranged from us. Help us in our own circles to share your love, your peace, and your hope. Do not let us hold on to bitterness or to anger, but rather may your spirit fall afresh upon us and make us quick to offer and receive forgiveness for wrongs that are done. And lastly, this morning we pray for ourselves. We pray for ourselves, Lord, that you would inspire each of us to truly live into the baptism offered to us in Jesus Christ. May you take every aspect of our lives, and use those aspects to share the good news of the gospel. Help us to do so in all boldness, in thought, in word and deed. In the next few moments of silence, we bring before you, Lord, those things, those concerns, which are nearest to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing truth that you do hear us when we pray to you. We commend and commit all of these prayers to you. We trust you, as Abraham trusts you, to act on these prayers in your own way, in your own time. Amen. We continue now singing our closing song of praise, From the Sun's Rising.
From the sun's rising unto the sun's setting, Jesus our Lord shall be great in the earth, and all our kingdom shall be his dominion. All of creation shall sing of his word. And every heart, every voice, every tongue going to sing in his praise. One in his love, we will circle the world with the song of his praise. Oh, let all his people be joyful. To every tongue, tribe, and nation he sends us, to make disciples, to teach and baptize. For all authority to him is given, who as his witnesses we shall arise. Let every heart, every voice, every tongue join with spirits of praise. Circle the world with the song of his praise. Oh, let all his people rejoice, and let all the earth hear his voice. Come, let us join with the church from all nations, cross every border, flow wide every door. Workers with him as he gathers his harvest, pillars are corners, our Savior adore. Let every heart, every voice, every clock join the spirits of praise. One in his love we will circle the world with the song of his praise. Oh, let all his people rejoice. Let all his people rejoice, and let all the earth hear his song.
And the claim of the living God was upon Abraham, upon all his descendants. My friends, this includes us by faith. Go forth from this place today and live into the call and the claim of God upon each of your lives. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.